and also didn't trust his mother and the types of people who were being attracted to that faction of Agnes, which included some really disreputable types. The most irrepressible, as a fellow I've mentioned a couple of times, was the ex-prince of Antioch, Reynald de Châtillon, the fellow who invaded Byzantine Cyprus for the hell of it, got himself captured in a Muslim prison for about 15 years, and then the Muslims released him after a ransom was paid around 1175, and he shows up in the kingdom and attaches himself to Agnes, her silly daughter Sibylla, and Guy of Lusignan. And I think Guy really appreciated and understood Reynald, and Reynald understood Guy. After all, they were fellow gigolos. Reynald married the heiress to the castles of Outre-Jourdain, and he embarked on a career that was intended to aggrandize him and gain him reputation, but at the same time gave Saladin all sorts of excuses and pretenses to wage war against the Franks of the coast. Reynald would periodically violate truces. He would attack caravans that were under royal safe conduct. The most remarkable was in 1182 when he built a fleet and launched it onto the Red Sea and then began to attack the Muslim pilgrimage trade. And this absolutely outraged the Islamic world. Saladin vowed that if he ever got a hold of Reynald, he was going to have him beheaded immediately, and eventually does do that. So with these types of allies, the party of Agnes really looked pretty disreputable. What was their advantage is that the situation on the other side wasn't much better. Raymond III wasn't trusted. The only other option was to go with Isabel, the half-sister of Baldwin IV. As I said, she was married as a child to Humphrey of Touron, who was a very feckless and weak figure himself. Maria Comnena, the second wife of King Amalric, hated her rival, the first wife, Agnes. The two women didn't get along at all. But there was no really coherent party on the other side. There wasn't any real candidate to follow Baldwin IV. And what Baldwin attempted to do was to head off a disaster. His one fear is that he knew his days were numbered. He knew with that advanced leprosy he was going to die a horrible, agonizing death, which is what happened in 1185. In his early 20s, he passed away. And to prevent Guy from coming to the throne, he first designated his nephew, that is, his sister's son by that first marriage, Baldwin V, who didn't last 18 months. It was a sickly child, and that Baldwin died 18 months later at the age of 11. And in the event that that Baldwin died, that nephew, then the succession was an open question. And what Baldwin IV set up in his will was the King of England, the King of France, the Holy Roman Emperor, and the Pope would set up a commission and would elect a new king. Now, this was accepted by the majority of the nobility in Outremer. And it went back to earlier precedents. Whenever there was a question of a marriage arrangement, that is, one of the rulers in Outremer wanted to marry a vassal, particularly the King of France, that you consulted the then reigning King of France. As I mentioned, Henry II, the king across the waters, was looked upon as the most important supporter of the Crusader state. So there was a certain amount of logic in doing this. Guy was denied the succession. He in the will, there was a provision that he would receive something like 10,000 bezants, that is gold coins, certain properties through his wife, but he was not to succeed to the throne. And that was an important provision. Well, unfortunately, the will never took effect. When Baldwin IV's nephew, Baldwin V, died, that sickly child, there was immediately another regency crisis, a succession crisis. And what happened is Agnes skillfully seized power in Jerusalem on behalf of her daughter. Sibylla was crowned. She in turn crowned that worthless husband of hers. And the reason for that is Agnes had good connections. The then reigning patriarch, a rather disreputable man, Heraclius, was Agnes's appointee. Agnes also had the support of the Templars, especially the Grand Master of the Templars, a Flemish knight, again, a rather another adventurer who had come out east and had risen in the ranks of the Templars, a fellow called Gerard de Ridford, who was a personal enemy of Raymond III. And she had the backing of the oldest surviving child of King Amalric, that is Sibylla, and the majority of the nobility just accepted the choice. What was the option? Civil war. Raymond III himself, his claim was far too remote. He was a distant cousin. there was the Isabella, but at this point she was only an adolescent. Her husband, Humphrey of Touron, who could have possibly been advanced by the opposition party, was so weak-willed that he immediately trotted to Jerusalem, offered his homage to Sibylla and Guy, and so was not, didn't even offer himself as a possible figure around which some type of opposition could form. So that the worst of situations happened. That is, you had an extremely weak-willed king who owed his position through the marriage of his wife, and a man who really didn't match up to the expectations of what was necessary for a king of Jerusalem. And I had talked about those. For one, Guy had no sense of holding council.